Ross Molin Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP, presented by Bolin Media. I am your host, Ross Bolin, back again today with your co-host, Chris Coles Colson. Christopher, how are you?
Doing excellent, man. How you doing?
Good. And then today we are also joined by renowned member of Team Content, Jared Borislow. Jared, I see you survived 2020. How are you?
I'm good. Nobody ever asked this, Ross. How are you?
People ask.
I actually ask.
Nobody asks.
I don't want to answer the question most of the time. It's none of your goddamn business, frankly, and I'll thank you to stay out of my affairs.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm doing great.
Welcome back, J-Bone.
Phenomenal week so far, Jared. Happy to have you here. Important things to discuss today.
Oh, yeah.
Very important things. We're going to move right into it with announcements and shouts. First off, birthdays. Happy birthday to Kim Chambers. It is today.
Happy birthday, Kim.
Today. Who else has a birthday, Chris?
Yesterday was my dad's birthday.
Rick!
Big Yay. Rick!
Hey, Big Rick. Happy birthday, man.
Otherwise known by my friends as One Flip Rick, because he's a legend on the flip cup table. So, you know, got to give him respect where credit is due. But I hope you enjoyed your night last night, Dad. They went out to a nice dinner.
I give typically credit where respect is due.
Sure.
You give respect where credit is due.
Okay.
Yeah.
I give both.
Yeah.
I'm just giving. That's what I am.
You're a giver.
I just love to give.
You're a giver.
And that's I give everything away.
Happy birthday, Rick.
Yeah,
thanks for raising a good son that I can employ.
Everybody reach out to Rick on his Instagram. You can find it somewhere. It's Rick Colson 2 or something like that. And tell him how great of a job he did at raising just such an incredible young man.
You just destroyed your dad's social media, which is something we're going to talk about today.
Wait,
happy birthday, though.
Is there another Rick Colson?
For sure.
I'm sure somewhere on the world.
There's another Ross Bolin out
there. His name's actually not Rick.
Is there really another Ross Bolin?
There's one in Dallas with the last name is spelled slightly different. And he was like in the same circle that, you know, and I was like, I kept waiting to run into him at a wedding so I could like, we could fight to the death because there can only be one. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, those are our birthdays.
Whatever happened to that Bolin who was running for state house in Michigan or whatever?
He ended up being like a
I
think like far right.
Oh.
Ah.
And it wasn't as funny after that. Especially considering the events that transpired over the past year and a half.
Yeah, especially in Michigan. Was he part of the coup against Governor Whitmer?
I really don't want to know.
Did he want to kidnap him?
He's on the state capitol steps in Michigan just being like, bring down Whitmer!
Yeah, that was that
As
guy.
Endorsed by the Ross Bolin podcast.
We endorsed just because he had my last name.
I actually said at the time, I was like, hey, Ross, because I was on that episode, I was like, are you sure you want to just blanket endorse somebody just because they have the same last name?
Yeah, and then we immediately looked into him and we were already, like, just from the get-go off, like, the first headline I saw was like, uh-oh. And then things, I never looked back into that guy. I didn't want to know, frankly. If you want to watch our show, you can see Jared, Chris, and I all on youtube.com/Bolin Media each and every week.
You're supposed to wave, Jared. Wave.
Good
I'm
fun.
Pointing my hat. I have a cool hat.
Jared points to his hat.
Look, don't see what my hat is. Nobody see what my hat is.
Look, okay, I won't say what it is. You have to go to youtube.com/Bolin Media to see Jared's very vintage, unique, and frankly, odd hat.
You don't even know if he's wearing a hat if you're not watching.
Well, true.
We could be lying to you.
It could be an Invisa hat. Could be a giant foam cowboy hat, for all you know, if you're not watching. Go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast for ad-free episodes every Friday on Patreon. You get a Monday show, you get a Wednesday show. They go out on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on YouTube. But then on Friday, the only place you can listen is Patreon, patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast every single Friday. Now it is time for our first segment of today's show.
Before we get into a first segment, I have a quick question for you, Ross. I've noticed you've added something to the look here. I see you're sporting a new medallion. Pennant.
Is that a
glass little rock around your neck.
Fuck, is this showing?
Is that a pendant?
No.
Okay.
It's not a pendant. It's none of your goddamn business.
Now it's a secret.
First segment, censorship on the internet. So as you're all surely aware at this point, infamous social media app Parler Parlay has been canceled effectively by the powers that be in the tech world, right? Parler is now trying to sue their way out of the situation as conservatives, Republicans, and extremists on the right freak out all across the world. And it's really created this ripple effect to where even people who I don't think are politically aligned in one way or the other were like, wait a minute, what's the situation here with the internet? So, Jared, last time you were here on our show, we actually discussed Parler as it was just making waves as Republicans and others were abandoning Twitter, Facebook, and the like due to what they saw as unfair censorship.
Yep.
And we have both worked on the internet for a long time, me for a decade now. You came in just right behind me, Chris obviously being a little more fresh and green. We're both all too aware that if you do business online, you are at the mercy of many, many people who run the internet, from your hosting company if you have a website, to any social platforms you utilize for marketing or engagement with your audience, to any social platforms you use for distribution, to Apple, to Zuckerberg, Bezos.
To all the photographers who try to sue you when you use their image.
To correctly. Jack, to like, yeah, the internet is a very, very complicated and legally insane place that has operated much like the Wild West since it was invented. And as we've gone and as the internet has developed into a place where, you know, really a handful of people have the majority of the power, just as it occurred with television and radio and every other media we've ever had, by the way, this isn't new. If I want to be on television, guess what? I don't get to just go on TV and start yelling out whatever I want. There are entire organizations in our country dedicated to ensuring that the medium of television remains censored on a level. Now, not censored in terms of like trying to stifle information, or in some cases that actually does end up happening too on TV, but more so to like, you know, there's the FCC and
they won't let me be.
You can't just say they won't. The FCC won't let me be. And yeah, we're not going to do this, but Eminem song, go look it up. This isn't a new concept. This idea that human beings can just distribute anything they want, wherever they want, never existed. And so I don't know why people thought the internet was this way. But for me and for people who have worked online or have paid attention and have used social media enough over the last decade, like, this isn't that shocking to us. Jared and I experienced something at our former company in 2014 that was my first eye-opening situation that really showed me how the internet works. And it was when Zuckerberg and Facebook decided, we're going to show everybody the power of our platform. We're going to give all these media, all these content, all these columnists, all these people who write articles, these journalists, we're going to give them the full fire hose. We're going to turn it on all the way and show them the full power of our platform and how much traffic we can drive to them.
Now, you got lucky because that happened to coincide with when I was interning there, and I absolutely crushed it and got all the page views, every single one, at least one person looked at everything I wrote.
I remember this. There was a week where there was an announcement from Forbes that Jared was every page view on the whole internet that week was as a result of him. But
says J-Bone owns internet.
Yeah, back in 2014, though, like, eventually Zuckerberg, what they did is they showed us the power of Facebook and everybody had mad page views and was raking in money. And then a few months later, they were like, and scene. And they shut off the fire hose and they said, and now if you want that, you will pay us for it. And everybody realized, like, oh, we never had power on this platform. We were always at the mercy of this one dude who was going to obviously use the platform he built to make money for his company, not my place of business, not my career. It was about Zuckerberg and Facebook.
Now, Coles knows all about this, seizing the means of distribution.
Yes, Coles. I do. Yes. I do. Yeah, I was just going to let Ross keep rolling. But yeah. I have thoughts. Keep going, though.
With Twitter, we've seen different changes in algorithm with Instagram, which is obviously owned by Facebook. Some of the biggest social platforms that all of us utilize, with the exception of TikTok, which I'm still very unclear on who owns it at this point and what that whole situation is. Look, if you're working online, you are almost always at the mercy of someone else's terms and conditions. The terms and conditions that we've all complained about for years and years because Apple updated them every 20 minutes at one point. Facebook's updated them a million times. And when you read them, they say things like, we have the power to delete your content if we deem that it is unsafe, yeah, inciting violence, spreading mistruth, untruth, whatever the fuck.
I mean, they
propaganda.
Can do,
like, they can do pretty much whatever they want. They can delete your fucking account. I could go to Twitter right now. My account could be gone after at least 10 years of building my following, and there would be nothing I could do. And that's my world, though.
Yeah.
Like, I accept that as my place of business. It's like when you join the mafia. You know you're joining a world where you could be whacked. That's part of the risk, but that's the job. And if you sign up for the job, you can't complain. So I usually don't. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have the power to paste on play. We haven't had the power, excuse me, to post on Facebook from the Ross Boland podcast or Oysters, Clams, and Cockles Facebook pages, our two podcasts that are in season here at Boland Media, in weeks. And you know why I haven't said anything? First of all, nobody was ever looking at that shit. We had like 100 views per thing on Facebook.
Actually, my weird aunt, who's still on Facebook, was looking at that.
Is she middle-aged?
Yes.
Uh-huh. But also because there's nothing I can do. I'm not even sure why we got shut down, but we did. Our page is still there.
Maybe it's because you talk so much shit about Facebook for years.
Could be that. But see, and again, that was a consequence that I was willing to accept when I started saying, like, fuck Mark Zuckerberg years ago. But also realizing that I am a very small fish in Zuckerberg's massive pond where he is like a blue whale, the dorkiest blue whale
covered
of all time.
Slathered in sunscreen.
Just making ribs in his under... ocean backyard.
Whale ribs.
Yeah. So I want to talk today about the internet, what people thought it was and what it really is. And it seems to me people thought the internet was literally like a bastion of free speech, like the place where we could all have a voice, right? Remember when Twitter came out and everybody was like, oh my God, I can put my thoughts, my jokes, all the important stuff's in my brain that's better than everyone else's onto the internet so that everybody can read it. That was like a crazy concept. Then everybody ran with it to the point that like every Joe Schmo and moron on the internet is just attempting to get retweets and likes based on clickbait. We saw the age of clickbait. Coles, you remember clickbait?
Hell yeah, I remember.
Every
clickbait.
Single headline was just BuzzFeed style. Click me.
I mean, I saw clickbait on a different level because when, as I was growing up, okay, so this is the weird thing about clickbait nowadays. So I've seen clickbait more with YouTube specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've spent a lot more time on YouTube. I didn't read a lot of columns when I was growing up in the age of clickbait. So like I didn't really get to experience the independent journalist
the
side.
The
column version of clickbait.
It's
yes.
Given us a lot of credit calling it independent journalists. Mostly like 25-year-olds at BuzzFeed writing cat quizzes.
You know what I mean, though. That type of clickbait.
Independent content creators.
But what I got to see is this weird, disgusting, kind of contorted YouTube clickbait where, so on YouTube, to monetize your videos, to have mid-video ad breaks, your video has to be at least 10 minutes long. So what these YouTubers...
That's a YouTube policy.
That's a YouTube policy, correct. So what a lot of these younger demographic YouTubers that are making, like, say, like, Minecraft videos and stuff like that, that are geared towards, let's say, 6 to 15-year-olds... They make these videos with these clickbaity thumbnails and titles of something that, like, you'll never believe what happens when you meet the Ender Dragon in this layer or whatever, something like that. And then that title only applies to, like, one thing that happens
at the
8-minute and 6-second video.
I see that all the time.
And the entire, you know... The last like minute and a half of the video is literally just filler to get it to 10 minutes. But the thing is, like, they're using these younger kids that aren't going to click off the video until they see what they came here to see.
Yeah.
And they put that purposely at the end of the video to make more money.
And now keep in mind, it's not using them. It's just strategy. Strategically, it is their goal is to get as much of your time as possible.
I
want you focused on their video for their purposes. But this is where the problem comes in. That decision by many, 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 most of the internet, I would argue, to care more about money than quality and purpose,
yeah,
put us where we are, right?
I agree.
Where it was like, it was just about getting as much trash out to make as much money as possible. There's
exactly.
No like reason, no yeah. Trying to inform people. I mean, really, entertainment even waved bye-bye. It wasn't even about entertaining anymore. It was about just consuming their time. I'm watching a show right now, What We Do in the Shadows, FX on Hulu, which is was inspired by like the 2014 movie of the same name, which is hilarious, and I highly recommend both. But one of the concepts the show introduces is, it's a long story short, it's a house with a bunch of vampires that are roommates. And you're introducing the vampires, and you meet one of them in the first episode, who is an energy vampire. Classic vampire fang, sucks your blood, drains you, turns you into a vampire. Energy vampire... Totally normal human, balding, looks like an accountant or a guy in the HR department. He looks like Toby from The Office. And what he does is he bores you. So it'd be like Jared, it's a guy who comes into your office or your cubicle and he's like, "Hey, Jared, man, I'm growing this eucalyptus in my front yard and I was wondering if you had any tips on how to, like, you know, if there was a good sprinkler you recommended for perhaps getting the right amount of water to trickle down onto the eucalypti during the night when I'm sleeping. Also, I was talking to my tax attorney last night," and like just draining you of your energy by speaking to you by their with their presence.
Oh, it's
right?
Just me talking about Cam Newton.
Cole's talking about Cam Newton. Yeah. Great example. Cool. What was I saying before this?
Because sucking energy, energy zombie. You're relating it to the show. You're talking about how it's trying to take up time on the internet. Just
that's what they were doing. All these every article, column, video put out that's clickbait is just meant to suck you in, to drain you. Right? Just it's not like providing you anything really.
Yeah.
Even if it's disguised as entertainment, and that sort of like that trash flooded the internet.
Yeah,
going back to clickbait, I specifically remember at one point in me and Ross's old company, we were sent an email, and it was a slideshow from Upworthy, one of the absolute most clickbaity, notable clickbait companies of all time. Okay. And it was a slideshow sent to us, and it was like how to title and like your content.
Yep.
And it was literally like a 18 slide PowerPoint
of how to create clickbait.
Yep. And it was like using all these, showing all these like stats and like, here's, oh, do this. And you incite this reaction out of the person. And like you said, Coles, I've noticed so much clickbait on YouTube these days that I feel like I never noticed until nowadays.
YouTube gaming, just caught it.
Gaming videos specifically.
Every Warzone video I watch.
Yeah,
is
because
like,
it'll be like, you'll never believe, you didn't even know you could do this.
I
in
did
Warzone.
Know that, and I could believe it.
And like, they all use that. The exact same type of image.
Yes, yeah. Ross, this. Like, oh my God, you won't believe the final circle.
And yeah, it's the streamer making that face, and then like the game in the background, and it's just like
a big explosion and like a tiny little circle.
I watched the video, and you didn't take your hands off your controller to stick them on your fucking face because you were confused.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just here's the thing. Like with newspapers, for example, like there's versions of this, right? They were like, we got to sell papers. With the news on TV, there's versions of this, right? We got to get eyeballs. We need the squirrel on the skis for the morning news, like. There's always been this element, but the overarching goal, at least on newspaper side, television is a little bit shittier, was still to make a newspaper, was still to give the news. Even if there was some shit in there that was like meant to just get people to pick up the paper or whatever, like the front headline wasn't like, they didn't make the front headline on the paper, the front of the fucking Sunday newspaper, the squirrel doing the water skis, they make it the bombing in Tehran or whatever.
And that all has to do, I think, with classic journalism training, because Ross and I both have journalism degrees, and we, like...
We do. We really do. That wasn't a joke.
It's beat into you, really, this whole idea of, like, be a classic journalist. If you do your job right,
the
people don't need to know your name. It's all about the story and the byline and the lead and doing it to a way that is helping further... information
and honestly serve the democracy.
Yeah.
That's part of what you're taught in journalism school, is like how journalism operates as a very major important piece of the democratic process and system. And the second you poison that journalism with the internet and then nobody really stops to figure out what that means, 15 years later, you end up where we are now, which is with the whole world scrambling to even figure out what the fucking internet even is.
Or money. Like, I mean, you have to think about this too. Like, 100 years ago, you know, nobody... You could probably make good money being a good journalist for a really good newspaper in New York. Or
No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't, and you still can't.
Okay, well, regardless...
It's like teachers. They don't pay these people.
You couldn't... Like, there was nothing you could do 100 years ago where you could go into content lots and lots and lots of money,
it was
right?
Literally just journalism.
It was just journalism. It was to serve the democracy as a whole, or, you
well,
know...
Well, content back then
to...
would have been like, I don't know, that's pre-television and radio, right? 100 years ago. So what, plays?
I guess, but even then, I'm saying, like... Now, when you introduce the idea that, like, you can write something online with bias in it that can make you way more money than if you wrote it to serve the democracy as a whole, of course you're going to do that.
That's
what I mean?
People choosing money over truth, money over morals, that whole concept is really the highest level of what's happening on the internet, right? It really is the driving thing behind these companies that we're talking about.
And so this is
Twitter, Facebook, etc., is what? These are publicly owned companies with stockholders and boards and CEOs and CMOs and all the C's and the O's you can possibly imagine. Billions and billions and billions of dollars generated through these social media platforms. They care about money. So it's partially on us to like realize as a society, if you were going to TikTok or Parler or Twitter really for the only news you got, and that was the only place you got it, man, that was problematic. Twitter being one that we really started to see a few years ago, that it you know, what do you see on Twitter? Most of what you see, and really up until recently, all of what you saw was from people you follow.
What you choose to see.
What you choose to see. I follow people with the same views as me because I enjoy their takes. What does that do? It gets me into an echo chamber where I'm only hearing what I want to hear. I'm not hearing perspectives and points of view from other human beings who aren't me or living this exact walk of life that I'm in, which is dangerous.
I've made sure to follow people whose views I hate.
I
totally understand why people can't do that. Mm-hmm. It frustrates me to no end sometimes to see this viewpoint. I just get mad. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Especially when you have real counter arguments and you just want to explain it. But like, obviously, Twitter is not that place. Yeah. And a lot of the people that you have different viewpoints with, like, they've heard the evidence that you're going to present already. There's nothing you can do about it from abroad. But I totally feel you there. And I try to do the same thing. I try to diversify my following.
And it's hard.
And I don't.
I get why people have a hard time doing it.
Yeah,
it's painful.
Like, I purposely still follow a lot of the people from high school that I went to high school with that I completely disagree with on most views of the world and how we see how we should live our lives, because I want to see like what they think, how they feel about the world, how they think the world should operate.
I'll give you like a take recently, and Christopher, don't be offended by this. It happens all the time. People tell me I suck constantly, but I had an older member of our audience hit me up and tell me like, yo, Chris is basically, Chris is 21 was essentially his take. And I was like, yes,
that's correct. I am. I just would like to let everybody know real quick, I am 21.
That is his age. And it was basically like, yo, I don't agree with everything this dude says. I'm in a totally different stage of my life. And I was like, well, that would be weird if you agreed with everything he said then, if he was 21 and you're fucking 40 and you got kids and a job and shit. But the point with Chris, obviously, is to get Generation Z's perspective, to keep young people's voices and the way that they think and the way that they look at the world in this show. Because what's important is understanding as many people's perspective and the way they think as possible, right? So if you want to hear from only you and what you think, brother, you can sit in a room and just talk to your fucking self or think to yourself, whatever. But to get other people's perspectives and shit, you have to engage in conversation. But to do it on the internet healthily, I mean, just like in life, what happens to so many people, especially people with money? They get into a neighborhood. Everybody else in the neighborhood has money. They're all in the same club. They all do the same activities. They hang with the same people, the same dinner parties. And then they have no access to the outside world.
Well, that becomes the world.
And their world is a bubble.
That's also most fraternities.
And let me apply this to, and again, money, a lot of white people. Let me apply this to sort of the larger situation we're looking at. Everybody over the past 2 years with a brain has watched everything in the United States unfold and been like, uh-oh, this doesn't seem to be trending in the right fucking
nice
direction.
Nice internet term.
We are not going in the right direction here. So what was my point? Jared, what did you just say? Help me out. My brain is slow this morning. Lack of coffee.
I don't know what I just said, but I do have a good quote about the internet.
No, this was, oh, I got it. I picked it up. Sorry. Back to where I was. Watching everybody in the Capitol building, right? All the senators and the whoever the fuck was there, as all these lunatics went and started banging on the doors. And everything that has happened since, which is now basically has led to the second impeachment of our president, which is occurring as we speak. Those people have been sitting in Washington, D.C. in their respective golf courses and houses for the last 2 years, while the rest of us in the real world went, what the shit is happening? Oh, my God, you're burning it to the ground, you morons. And they seem pretty cool with what was going on. A lot of them jumped on board with Trump. We're like, hey, we can use this. Fuck it. Long term, this is going to help out the Republican Party, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Guess what? The second people started beating down their doors and threatening their actual lives, the bubble burst. They realized the problem was the problem. And now we're seeing action like 7 days before the man leaves office anyway. That is the result of a bubble, a lack of understanding of what is actually happening in the real world, which unfortunately, social media does almost nothing at this point to help you achieve. Instagram does not show you what's actually happening in your friends' lives. That is not an accurate reflection of their happiness, their wealth, the success they have on a day-to-day, or any of the emotions, thoughts, joys, highs, lows that they feel on a day-to-day basis. It's not an accurate reflection.
And if you ever doubt that, consider this. Any of your friends who have photos on their Instagram that were taken by somebody else, think about the interaction they had to do to get that photo to happen. Hey, I'm gonna stand right here. Can you just like hold this?
Hey, was that
one good?
They
took 25 photos.
Okay, let's do another one, but let's get it from this angle. I'm gonna move my foot over here. And this isn't just like chicks. It's dudes. Yeah. It's everybody.
That's not real life.
Right? It's not real. And the internet, by and large at this point, is not real. That's obviously problematic. It's our number one source of information. It's impossible to dig through for the average human being right now and determine truth from false is very, very difficult. It's incredibly challenging. And so what we're seeing in the way of censorship that many, many people are upset by, and people attach, in America especially, people attach censorship to communism, socialism, the USSR, China. But censorship isn't always bad. Sometimes you need to censor someone because they are a danger, a threat, or actively disrupting or destroying something that needs to maintain.
The issue is this: when that person does not see themselves as a threat and they see the one doing the censoring as a threat, you get in a standoff situation where both sides feel like they're in the right, and then you get where we are right now. Where the censoring is not the be-all end-all. Just because this person has been censored does not mean, oh man, I got censored. Well, oh man, I guess I'm going to stop talking now. That's not how it works.
They still have plenty more places to go. Yeah. Like, I'm on the Donald.win right now, and it's still popping off like nothing has ever happened. Like,
what the hell is that?
It's Reddit for Donald Trump.
So, that sounds horrible.
I'm so not kidding at all. The very top thing on the right is the suicide prevention hotline so that Trumpers don't kill themselves.
I mean, that's good.
That's probably a good thing.
So at that point, I go, what? There's so many people right now who are celebrating this and going, yeah, we beat the alt-right. And it's like, no, you did not. You did something.
If anything, you sent them underground. Well, you know what I mean?
And it's like, yeah.
Like, it's not like they're going to come back to Twitter.
Yeah, there's some people now who might not find them because they're off of these mainstream platforms, which could be good, right? However, you've probably just militarized them more than they ever would have been if you had allowed them to get mainstream, get kind of fought by the mainstream. Censoring is...
They got mainstream, though, bro.
Yeah, true. That's
the thing. Cannot be more mainstream than
they've gotten. I agree with what you're saying, and I agree with what Ross is saying. And the moral of the story is that I really don't think there's any good way... Like,
yeah, I agree. There's no good way to do it.
The only way that this could have been solved correctly is if Republican lawmakers came out and straight up said, we use misinformation, we lied to you, we lost the election, there was no fraud.
Well, that's never.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Exactly.
Happen. Yeah.
But that's the only way that you get these people back to a place of moderation. That's
not the only way. There's not the only way. Because there's going to be years, it's the only way if you wanted it to happen right now. But a lot of what you're seeing today, and a lot of what we've seen over the past week, frankly, since the Capitol attack, what do we call that? The Capitol invasion?
I like the attackital.
The attackital? Ever since the attackital, we have seen Trumpers, whether it be actual members of our government, members of Congress, Senate, whatever, or friends, family, sort of, in some cases, sprint away or straight up denounce everything about this, or in some cases, just slowly back away like, oh, wow.
Like
that was actually a lot more intense than I expected, and this didn't go the way that I kind of had hoped, and I'm going to go ahead and take the sign out of my yard. And like, there are people who are going to heal and realize over the next several years that this whole time period was a real mess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how many of those people, I'm not sure how many of the people from the attackle are going to actually, see the wrong of their ways.
Yeah.
Those people seem pretty deluded, delusional, delusioned, all of the above. I don't know how much, you know, real hope we have there for them.
Yeah.
But a lot of people over the next several years are going to have a lot of what we call like a come to Jesus moment, right? Where you see sort of yourself in the mirror and what you've been doing and you just realize you were wrong. I mean, I've had these moments in my life where I realized I was wrong. When we started talking about a lot of the civil and social issues in our country last year, you know, there were multiple times where I was admitting to a level of ignorance, being too naive, whatever, when I was young, and not really seeing things enough from the perspective of other people to have a good understanding of how the world was working. So I believed in and supported things that weren't, at this point, that do not at all align with what I now believe. So it's like,
yeah,
you have to give people the opportunity for growth and for change. And it's easy to look at the news and see the most extreme version of what occurred and the attack it'll and the people that were there and like, and to be terrified and infuriated and to imagine that there are 74 million people just like that, but there really, really, really aren't. It is a much smaller group than it is built up to be in my head. But at the same time, it is problematic. And as the powers that be continue to find ways to combat this, what became like an insurgency almost, I'm cool with them doing what they need to do to ensure that the safety of our democracy is the number one priority. And in the case of like the Don's Twitter account, look, the only reason for that account was to distribute misinformation and to cause a riot, basically. Yeah. At this point, I mean, really for a long time. You could argue the whole time. Yeah, Trump's Twitter account was never a useful tool to help inform the American people or for him to do his job as president of the United States more effectively. It was always about getting his message out, hammering his propaganda home, making sure that, you know, the stuff like the mail-in voting stuff was like beaten into people's head months before it even occurred, which ended up ironically costing him the election and changing American history forever. But look, this whole situation is just one that it's not as simple. It's not so black and white where people are like, you can't silence us. We won't be silenced. It's like, well, they can silence you if you're literally using their platform you signed up for, agreed to all their terms and conditions with. Like, if I invite you into my show and you agree, you say, yeah, I'll come on the Ross Bolin podcast, and you come in here and just start shouting out some Nazi shit, guess what? I'm shutting off the microphone and the cameras, and your episode's never going to see the light of day. You know why? Because I don't agree with your message. It's dangerous, and this is my show. So I make the rules. It's Zuckerberg's show. It's Jack's show. It's Bezos's show. These dudes who invent these things and build these things, and then we sign up for them, make the rules. So if you're going to use their platforms and then poo your pants and cry when you get banned for distributing propaganda that nearly destroyed the democracy, I don't know how to feel bad for you. Like, wrap your head around it or don't. But this isn't the way. You're allowed to walk into the street on the corner and yell whatever the fuck you wanted, whoever. That's American free speech. Nobody ever said in the Constitution, you can go on the internets and type whatever you want, wherever you want, and fuck these liberal crybabies. Like, nobody ever put, like, this is the reality of the situation. And you can either accept it, that the internet is not a free zone for you to go do whatever you want, that people have been getting popped for crimes and shit on the internet for years and years and years and years, or you can continue to live in the alternate reality where you have some power on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or any of the other huge platforms. Now, the question that obviously this conversation sort of ends with is, where do we go from here? Well, is there another platform that arises that actually is going to give some type of easily, I guess, combed through and censored in a way that is safe? Like, there has to be some level of censorship for a platform to actually work. What we saw go wrong with Twitter was the billions of bots. How many Trump bots have tweeted at me over the past 4 years that were built in China or Russia or whatever? I have no clue. Coles, we had a whole like army bot army at one point that were actual bots that were RBP fans,
and they
that
were
fan built out,
and they were also like, they started messaging each other.
They were living,
they built out a bot community with each other,
interacting with each other.
It was a little beautiful.
But the other point, that's like another thing about it, is like, so I know that about Twitter. I know Twitter is filled with a whole bunch of fake accounts and fake information, and it's like, I know that about the platform and understand it. And like, it's almost like, do you need a litmus test for each person before they can sign up for a fucking social account?
Probably.
Like, you have to get a driver's license. Should you have to get a social media license so that the government can make sure that you're fuck? See, that's the thing.
Okay, but
I'm not a guy that wants more government control. But when it comes to the internet, we need a way to regulate this thing in a way that is going to keep situations from what we just saw almost occur from happening.
I agree with that. But I would say on certain things, you are making this seem like very black and white, which in this case, it is very black and white with the demographic that we're talking about and the ban that was put in place and the reason that Parler was taken down. Obviously, there's a very right and wrong side of that. But I do want to bring up the hypothetical of considering, you know, big tech corporate censorship. Like, as somebody that spends a lot of time on YouTube and Twitch, as, you know, Gen Z scum, I've seen many, many times small creators that rely on Twitch and YouTube for their well-being, to pay their rent, to pay their food. Their videos and channels get demonetized for reasons unknown, just from the top, strike, no reason given. Like, okay,
but again, recently, what's wrong with that?
That they now no longer, like, they rely on this site and the site has
decided. But that's a decision they made. To rely on another platform and their service for their livelihood is a, that's like, if you're going to work on the internet,
them,
that's the first decision
you
have to
make. But without them, Twitch doesn't exist. Like, if Twitch doesn't have
streamers. I think Twitch is going to be just fine without them.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Like, yeah. But I'm saying, like, these people are spending lots of time to put out fantastic content. A lot of these YouTube videos that I'm talking about are hour-long video
essays. I'm telling you, though, Chris, the point is you have to be very careful then as a content creator about where you distribute your content, because that's on you.
So then what are you supposed to do, though?
Like, if I'm putting out... platform, is YouTube going to be the one that, like, randomly deletes my account? Does that happen often? Like, is it something that is likely to happen to me?
Okay, but let's be real, Ross. I can't go... Like, if I'm putting out very high-quality videos that apply to, like, a very broad audience that I put a lot of time into that's not breaking TOS on YouTube, but they're, like... Either because of a, especially like with, you know, so for example, Disney can, even if you, like, they're very, very picky and weird and gray about what they choose to demonetize. Like, some people, they can get away with doing a whole ass, like, 30-second Pixar clip, no problem. Some people, you put one picture of Tony Stark, it's over. You're that video is not making
and any again fucking you've touched on another thing, which is if you're going to use on the internet anybody else's content in any way, shape or form, you are immediately putting yourself at the mercy of whoever created that content and how they decide to fuck you in the end. We saw stuff like this at our old company with, there was a point where we posted a column very early days on our website. This is like 2000 and what, like probably 12.
Yeah.
That was like a bunch of, it was an article about Playboy. It included old, tasteful, non-nude Playboy photos in the article.
Very tasteful. I actually only read it for the articles.
Yeah, several years, let me tell you, several years later, Playboy, when going through financial trouble, hired a company to sue or collect from every single person they could find on the internet who had ever used a Playboy photo unlawfully. And they did. They came for our ass. We had to pay them a nice, hefty fee in response to that. Not the full amount they asked for, which was $250,000 per photo, which is what they're actually legally allowed to ask for via copyright and trademark infringement. But there are all these rules around that stuff. Like, if, for instance, I'll tell you, with like Instagram, we routinely use memes, clips from videos, movies, photos that we are straight up, at me as our business owner, I know those can be deleted at any given point, that our Instagram account could be taken away at any given point. And it's my job to ensure that we have distribution outside of just Instagram or Twitter or whatever, so that if one of them gets taken away, we're okay. And yes, it is not a great situation for content creators, especially in instances like you're speaking to, where if I'm spending 100 hours a month making YouTube videos to try to build something and have a living, and then like YouTube accidentally bones me via their random algorithm that then I don't have a contact at YouTube and I can't get it back up, like that does suck. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know if there's an answer to, like, if you're signing up to use a private platform,
but there is an
you're at their
there.
Mercy.
Can I?
There is an answer there, though. Like, that is deals with taking more, like, the creators that are providing to these platforms should have more power in what they're doing, because, again, without them, the platform does not grow and flourish.
Like, okay, how about this?
For Twitch, people use Twitch and YouTube. People use Twitch and YouTube because there's no other good option out there. Like, it's the only avenue available.
And that's why you're screwed.
Yeah.
Because it's not... You don't have another option.
But there's things that we can, like, there's things that can be done.
There's nothing we can do. It's
yes, there
the
is.
Company.
There's things that can be done.
How about this? How about somebody
but
who's
like,
worked
cool. That's like somebody, hold on. Yeah. That's like somebody telling me, I don't like the direction of the Ross Boland podcast. We have to do something
no,
about
it's not.
It. And I'd
I disagree.
Like,
no,
I'd
I,
be like,
no.
You don't get to do shit because this is my show.
They don't, the people that are telling you that don't contribute to your show. The people that
they
are
do routinely people who contribute
but
segment
without
ideas.
You the Ross Boland podcast doesn't exist
without
that's what I'm saying
Zuckerberg Facebook doesn't exist without the guy who invented YouTube
that.
YouTube doesn't
no,
exist
because it's his company because Zuckerberg at any point could go done kill the switch here's the deal so imagine this you have
and then another one pops up right behind him if Zuckerberg right now was like kill the switch
yeah, but
there's another Facebook in a week
here's the quote
it's just an idea
motherfuckers saying they made Hove okay so make another Hove if you've got a problem with Facebook in the way they operate, then it's like, okay, make another one, which is what Parler did. And what happened? They got shut the fuck down. So that's the loop-de-loop. It's like, you can try to find ways to operate outside of these big six dudes who are like the billionaires who run the tech world that everybody wants to be scared of or whatever. And that's cool. But that's the other option. Don't get it twisted. There is no version of this where as content creators, we get to a point, or as users, as regular people signed up on these platforms, where we can all get together and have a vote and say, you know, Mark, Jack, Jeff, guys, we've decided as a society that these are the things we would like to have in place for on your platforms. Like, this is just never, ever going to happen.
But it could. Could.
That's an idealist point of view, yes.
We could work towards holding our corporate overlords accountable, or we could just bow down and kiss their boots for our entire
life. I don't look at them as corporate overlords. Either. These men enable me to make a living as well. Like, without YouTube, without the invention of, like, the podcast, without Twitter, especially Twitter. Twitter being like the number one place that I've made my career and built my voice and built my platform and had the ability to make this company. Without those people, those things don't exist. People refuse to see the good and the bad.
I see the good. I'll leave it with this. Final point. I just believe we have now found ourselves in a position in this world where a few men that have come up with great ideas and have developed them to the peak of technology at the current moment now are in a position where a majority of the population of the earth uses these providers to either find information or find entertainment. I just think that we should be working more to protect the content creators that provide to those services. That's all.
Okay, I would just with as an overarching concept, I agree. But nobody really I don't know that we have a foundation to stand on yet. Like, that's part of how the media world is going to need to change. That's the big thing that's been revealed here.
And
everybody who operates online, whether it's as a business like we do or just as an individual trying to seek out information, news, or interact with their friends, family, the world, etc., we are totally at the mercy of the TOS, the terms and conditions,
Terms of service.
Terms of service and the terms and conditions of each and every single one of these platforms down to, you know, our iPhone. The way we use it. I don't even own my phone.
Yeah, it's like a lease.
It is a lease. Literally. Like, yeah. None of my information on the internet do I hold sacred like it's safe at this point.
I mean,
if something is safe or sacred to me, guess what? It doesn't go on the internet because I don't own any of the platforms I'm putting things on the internet. Zuckerberg owns most of them, and then Jack.
But you got to think, though. I mean, think about 100 years ago, right? Industrial Revolution, like Rockefeller, like those guys owned pretty much everything, like 98% of the wealth in the United States, I believe. So it was either, you know, work for them or what else are you going to do? You don't have any rights. You don't have a 9-to-5 workday. You don't have a 5-day week. There's no child labor laws. Everybody thought, like, just like you said, we have no platform to stand on. Well, eventually they did things and created strikes and unionized, and they created a platform to stand on.
And here we
are. You have to start somewhere.
The content creators union is what you're proposing?
I'm proposing that content creators should be working together for more power on the platform, yes.
Yeah, but that's just like, like Jared said, it's an idealistic way of looking at it.
It is, but it was idealistic.
Doesn't
when,
have any substance to it. Like there, that
again,
what
but you
would
have
step
to think.
One be
discussion.
I want to make one point about, because one point you seem to be making is, you know, the content creators have this value they provide to the platform.
Correct.
Without the content creators, then you know the platform wouldn't be as big as it is.
Yeah,
wouldn't
that's
be
how
where
I
it
used
is.
To think around 2016.
So then, how about this? How about, are you saying then that let's say a guy who was the second employee at a company, built it from nothing, ground floor guy, to mm-hmm. this crazy, massive, huge, you know, crazy big company.
Sure.
Can that guy then be fired? Because he created all this value that made this company so big, but obviously the person can still fire him, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, if he stops providing
probably.
Value, absolutely.
Depending on his
but
contract.
But what if he doesn't stop providing value? What if they just want to fire him because they own the company?
Depends on the state he's in.
Is there any...
In Texas, you can be fired for any reason at any moment, and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seems like...
Jared, you're fired. Jared, you're rehired.
Oh.
Look at that. Nothing anybody can do about that.
On air, too.
Yep.
So, you know, is it more of an issue of the, you know, if a business owner's rights at this point then? Because, you know, it's... they don't have any obligation outside of a moral obligation to treat anybody who's treated them well, well.
I agree. I agree with that. And
you're saying
that issue goes to the issue in my mind of the system of capitalism that we currently live in, that at the end of the day, the bottom dollar is the most important thing regardless of what happens to anybody else around you. My thing is like,
it doesn't have to be. I'll note that. It doesn't have to be.
But, it doesn't have to be.
But money does pay for
society. Based money on the system that we live in, me. I mean, it's Meme. Easy to deduct that.
Meme.
And so, like, I just, the content creators that I've seen that have had the hardest time making a living off of the content that they produce, which is very, very high quality content that provides entertainment and, like, provoking thought to many, many people, even based on, like, fucking Pixar video essays. Like, simple stuff like that. Like, they deserve to be able to have a voice to... They deserve to be able to have a voice. Yeah, they deserve to be able to have their voice heard to the
They do have
the
a voice. They also just have the risk of it being stifled anytime they're using that voice on a private platform that has terms of service or conditions or whatever. And that's the thing, is it's like... Especially in the case of content like video essays, when they are using other content to create their content, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You never have a leg to stand on, and it immediately just becomes like, well, then you should go do something in a realm that you have full control over. And the internet is not that. So, like, I don't know where this ends, okay? Amazon is, like, reverse... I mean, their response to Parler's lawsuit was fucking crazy. This dude, Nilay Patel, at Reckless on Twitter, tweeted out the introduction. He said, Amazon not dancing around with its response to Parler's lawsuit. And here's the piece I'll read. This case is not about suppressing speech or stifling viewpoints. It is not about a conspiracy to restrain trade. Instead, this case is about Parler's demonstrated unwillingness and inability to remove the servers of Amazon Web Services content that threatens the public safety, such as by inciting and planning the rape, torture, and assassination of named public officials and private citizens. There is no legal basis in Amazon Web Services customer agreements or otherwise to compel Amazon Web Services to host content of this nature. AWS notified Parler repeatedly that its content violated the party's agreement, requested removal, and reviewed Parler's plan to address the problem, only to determine that Parler was both unwilling and unable to do so. Amazon suspended Parler's account as a last resort to prevent further access to such content, including plans for violence to disrupt the impending presidential transition.
I support this, Ross, because I don't know if you know this. A lot of people probably didn't see this, but all these people who stormed the Capitol actually said they were going to torture J-Bone.
Where is the bone?
Where's the bone man?
We're enough of the bone zone.
Shaman, get over here. Shaman, come and summon the bone man.
Bring him out. All of that is to say that on the internet, if you're going to operate here, live here, work here, play here, you must recognize that...
Live here, work here, play here? Isn't that like a...
Chuck E. Cheese slogan or something? It'd be weird if they added live here.
It's like the domain, you know, live one of the here. Places where it's like a mall and an apartment complex.
Live,
and
work,
play.
Yeah.
What was the name of the one they made in South Park? Do you watch South Park?
What's South Park?
You watch South Park?
I've seen it, but I don't know what you're talking about.
They gentrified an area of South Park.
Ah.
I can't remember. People listening know. They know.
Live, work, play. Yeah, it's like the ultimate gentrification move.
Yeah, but
it really is.
You've got to have an understanding for the platform you're on. Too many of us got into this age of social media and it was just like, oh, my friends have a Twitter. I'll sign up for a Twitter or a Facebook or a Instagram or make talk ticks or whatever the fuck. And it's like, well, maybe we all need to take a second step back and realize that we need to put some thought into what we sign up for, where we go, to distribute our takes, our content, etc., share pictures of our family and friends, and who's in control there, which brings us to our next segment, the richest humans in the world.
Ross, before you get into that, remember earlier I said I had an internet quote for you, and I think this just summarizes everything we just said.
Okay.
And allows you, but I would be remiss not to say it. My favorite quote of all time is from Kanye West about the internet. I'm going to read it for you right now.
Please do.
Like... You remember, like, you'd see future movies and everything was in the sky? That's the internet. Kanye West.
Oh, Kanye. Kanye always provides us the perspective we need. All right, now, the richest humans in the world. We spoke to the fact that there are a handful of individuals who obviously influence a strong majority of the things that take place on our planet, which, just from the get-go, as Coles and many people in the Comrade Coles camp feel, is extremely problematic. I don't think there are many people who are stoked on the idea that there's a handful of individuals who hold most of the wealth on the planet.
Unless it's me.
Unless it's one of them, or yeah, or J-Bone. If J-Bone, if you were on this list, I might support it, but you're not, so I won't. Elon Musk, we're all aware of, my good friend Elon. We communicate often. We've been tweeting back and forth. He's probably going to come on the show at some point. We may move in together.
Him and I like the same tweet. I don't know if you know this.
Did you like the exact same tweet as each other? Was it mine?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Just put a number to it, 70% of the wealth.
70% of the planet's wealth within this list of billionaires, I believe.
Well, this one is quoted as nation's wealth.
Okay. And Elon Musk recently jumped over Amazon's Jeff Bezos, who we were just speaking about. Mr. Bezos obviously being the head of the company that then decided to cancel Parler's hosting services, which, to explain that very quickly, if I build a website today, if I'm like, I want to make the RossBolinPodcast.com, the first thing I have to go do is register that domain. And you know what I do that through, Jared? A domain hosting platform service. And when I sign up for that domain and I pay them that $10 for that year of service on that website, I have to agree to every fucking term they make. And if they want to pull my side at any point because I violated, guess what? They have every right to do so, because I, as a private businessman, decided that's where I wanted to put my money and build my website. And again, that's how it, that like, it's from the ground floor of every piece of the internet. If you want involvement, if you want a website, if you want an account, you have to agree to somebody else's guidelines. And it's wild. It's the only place I'm aware of that, like, every, I mean, it's like, I guess it's the same as everything else, though. If I go to the mall and I pick a store and walk in, that store gets to make the rules about what I'm allowed to do there. So I don't get why it's so confusing for people on the internet that, like, it's the same exact concept. It's not yours. It's not the fucking public library. And even there, you got to have a card and rent the book, and somebody checks you out, and there's a goddamn fucking metal detector when you walk in, so you don't just shoot up the place. Like, people need security and censorship and guidelines, because frankly, we are idiots and we are dangerous. Back to the list. Number one is now Elon Musk with $189 billion at the point of the publication of this article that I'm now reading with information from Forbes.
Ross, I don't know if I actually agree with your points you made about, you know, stores being able to make all the rules, because there's one store where there's no rules. You can go in and do whatever the fuck you want.
Spencer's.
Sharper
Spencer's
Image.
Gifts. Yes.
Baby.
You can do whatever the fuck you want at Spencer's Gifts.
But Jared, that's because the one employee in Spencer's behind the register is passed out on heroin.
He's waiting for you to ask him if you can try out the inflatable butt plug.
Exactly. Like, dude,
he's in the back whacking himself with one of the 4-foot long yellow dildos they sell.
I'm pretty sure like the portal to Narnia is behind like a big like extra extra large JNCO t-shirt like rack at a Spencer's.
Wearing when you're flipping through the posters and you like you're on like the Metallica poster.
No,
the next one you go is Rugrats from Nickelodeon, and the next one is the Door to Narnia.
No, the next one's actually the Rick and Morty portal. That's also the portal straight to Narnia.
And then the one after that is literally just a hentai girl like taking a load on her face. And you're like, what is this fucking poster
it's
collection?
Like Leela from Futurama taking a load from Fry or something.
Why?
And then
why is this the selection of posters? And then Star Wars.
To cap it off, it'll be like Donald Trump riding an eagle, like something like that.
Yeah,
like,
some crazy ridiculous American.
Like, no rules.
Like every trash vibe you could possibly capture in one place, and it's Spencer's Gifts. That place still rocks. If I walk past one in the mall, which I probably never will again because I don't think malls are going to exist, I have to go in. I have to go in and see what's up. And it's the craziest thing about Spencer's is, yo, for a business model, oh my God, so simple and perfect. They started when? I don't know. It's been around since the fucking 90s. Never changed a single item they sell. They've offered the exact same stuff for 20 years.
Now it works because all their shit's like weirdly like kind of vintage. Like
that's kind
of
always where it's hit. It's like if you were like if you were like a weird dude,
Spencer's
was mainstream,
started,
or you were a punk kid, or you were a goth. Like Spencer's had something for everybody, and then it was just like if you wanted to just get a double sided dildo show going, you could also go in.
Bro, you are never gonna guess when Spencer's was founded.
1978.
Never gonna guess. Keep going.
1901.
Nope.
Tell us.
Between that, 47.
1947. Like, what were they selling at that point?
I would love to know what
Snow
they were selling in 1947.
Like Dick
no, instead, that was instead of Mickey Mouse stuff, it was Steamboat Willie stuff.
Yeah, they were the knockoff. Yeah. They sold the racist off-brand Disney stuff. That
oh, my God.
Song of like the South t-shirts and shit.
Reagan masks, Grateful Dead tees, and wooden dildos back in the day.
1947, though? Like, what was the culture even?
I don't even know what the culture of the post-war industrial revolution, like what?
They're like, oh, the war's finally over. Now we have to sell sex toys.
Oh, it's you know what? It's probably like Sexy Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah, you're not
yeah,
wrong.
You're so right, actually. Yeah.
Okay, so we said number two was Jeff Bezos, right? The Amazon guy. What's wild is that number three is actually Mark Davies, who is the founder of Spencer's Gifts.
What?
That's no, not fucking
oh my God.
He's not on this list.
Dead. I thought he was so serious.
He didn't make this list. But number three is the Bernard Arnold and Family, which is a
LVMH.
I feel like that's
Louis Vuitton, Moet, and Hermes.
I feel like that's cheating Sephora. To be a whole family, though.
And Sephora.
French businessman and Europe's richest man, Bernard Arnold, earned the $100 billion fortune last December. That must have been tight. That was a hell of a year for him.
Do you know Spirit Halloween is a subsidiary of Spencer's?
No
That's
way.
Why they pop up everywhere all the time.
Wow.
Also, I would just like to point out real quick.
Whoa.
Crazy, right?
You're talking about Spirit Halloween.
Yeah.
The giant, like, everybody knows the abandoned shopping center that their Spirit Halloween pops up in their neighborhood every, what is it? What comes before October?
Halloween? October? September?
This
September.
Is the theme for Spirit Halloween. It's a niche video. I'll send it to you later.
Thank you.
Shout out to anybody who got that.
Can't appreciate it.
That video.
Yeah, it's a subsidiary. Also, I would just like to point out the hilarious thought I just had in my mind. If malls do, in fact, all close, that means we'll have to have, like, standalone Spencer's shops.
We have to get the standalone Spencer's shop.
Oh,
right
my God,
to
dude. Nuts. Imagine, like, a pet store that was like a pet farm closes down in your local strip mall, and the next day it's just a pop-up Spencer's.
I'm going in. 100%.
Hopefully they keep their bird cages and shit.
I was going to say, they...
What are they going to do with that?
Okay, so
that's some kinky shit right there.
To get back to what we're supposed to be talking about, because I am allowing us to derail at an unhealthy pace. Elon Musk, everybody's aware of. Tesla, SpaceX, the boring company.
SpaceX?
Yeah, SpaceX. Jeff Bezos, everybody's aware of. Amazon, right? We just talked about number three, which is the Louis Vuitton and Sephora, the French guy, Bernard Arnold. Number four is...
Wait, Bernard and Arnold.
Westworld.
Frizzle Motor Functions. Check it out.
Bill Gates is number four. We all know Bill Gates. He used to be number one, the co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He's worth $122 billion. He founded Microsoft with Paul Allen. He's a very large philanthropist who many people suspect is actually the one behind coronavirus that made the vaccine so that he can track us with chips in our brains. Bill Gates generally seems like an all right
Gates
dude for me, especially
not a
considering.
Pharmacist.
Then there's Zuckerberg.
Was that a real theory? I thought that people were just meaning.
That's the biggest conspiracy theory I've seen.
Very real.
And they were chanting, "Bill Gates is not a pharmacist."
Yeah, that's real too.
Oh.
Yep.
The biggest vaccine conspiracy theory I've seen.
America. Zuckerberg is the youngest billionaire on this list, which is something to keep in mind. These guys, many of them that we're talking about, younger men, right? These aren't 75, 80-year-old dudes
Elon's
who have been...
Elon's the oldest, right?
Yeah, you know, I 50, think 53? Him and Bezos are up there.
Bernard Arnold's pretty old.
I don't even think Elon's out of his 50s yet. But, I think he's like 53, I want to guess, 54.
But the Zuck is like, I don't know, 36 or something? 36 years old.
71, Bernard Arnold.
The Zuck is 3 years older than me. And let me just put it this way.
Oh my God, Ross.
In terms of life knowledge, at 33 right now, him being 36, if you told me... Do you think you could handle running the biggest platform in the world in terms of information?
Yeah.
Fuck, if you told me, Ross, you'll be 40. You'll have 7 more years of knowledge. We'll give you this at 40 years old and you have to run it. Can you do it? Absolutely no fucking way in hell. My point being this. 36 and he's been making all of these insanely important decisions about how our literal entire country functions and the world, frankly.
Enough to get him into the Supreme Court.
Repeatedly. And... That's after years and years. He's been doing this as a very young and inexperienced life experience.
He's 36.
Lacking man. You're talking about one of the most important individuals on the planet that you could argue is too naive to even be in that position in the first place. Like, the power that he got at the age he got it is bonkers.
Dude,
to wrap
younger
your head around.
Than me when I was on Facebook.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was 36.
He's 36 years old, Jared.
When I was
he's
in high
school. He's like basically a kid in my eyes.
On Facebook, and he was 2 years younger than I am right now.
If you grew up in my generation, and you're in your low to mid 30s, most of y'all just got your shit together. Because I've been watching, and I'm with you. Like, dude, there's no way. Like, there's no way I could have been making anything. And I'm not trying to sit here and pretend that my IQ is anywhere near Zuckerberg's. But I'm a relatively smart dude. I consider myself a capable human being. I can't even fucking sit here and try to pretend that I can fathom the level of detail and insane scrutiny that has to go into every little decision you make because you're literally affecting billions of lives. That is mind-blowing to me. And I do not feel, in some ways I feel for the man. I feel bad for these dudes. Imagine trying to fucking operate this way. It's hell. Yeah, okay, every decision you make.
You say that now, but right now, you know for a fact, Zuckerberg could cash out and still be unbelievably wealthy and not have to work another day, and his children wouldn't have to work a day, and their children wouldn't have to work a day, and he doesn't do it. So he likes it. He likes the power.
Yes, and that's a very important aspect of this, is that to what Chris was talking about earlier, like, how do we get, like it's clear, like, one individual can't, one no one man should have all that power, to have another Kanye West quote out there. Like, what do you do? And part of the problem is that these men haven't been willing to share power. That Zuckerberg is not willing to say, all right, I noticed this platform has essentially become a right-wing information distribution platform, which is like, if you go look at the top 10 Facebook links every day, they're like seven of them every day.
Three of them are Ben Shapiro and two are Fox News. One of them is Tucker Carlson.
And Bongino is like... Bongino's number one, man. He's crushing Facebook.
I've never even...
Don't know who that is.
Yeah,
don't know who that is. No fucking...
I was curious if he was
Dan Bongino.
I'm not kidding. He was the number one link on Facebook yesterday.
He was.
I just did another quote from the same exact guy as the Spirit Halloween one. Just saying.
Just a talented individual.
Just saying.
Good stuff.
That guy's going to be pumped.
I think that's actually the only quote that you know.
Yeah, like when Zuck discovered all this, though, about his platform, he had the opportunity, obviously still has the opportunity, to be like, yo, this isn't working. We need to figure out something that makes sense for everybody.
Like, yo, this is getting to be a huge thing. Maybe we should like bring in a lot more people to figure out how to do this correctly.
And maybe I should give up some power. Maybe I could do something to make people feel more at ease, or like this is being handled appropriately with their best interests in mind and not the bottom line. But that has never occurred. Will it? I don't know. But it hasn't yet. Everybody else on it. Larry Ellison. He's the
Austin guy,
Oracle guy.
Also, look him up. He's an interesting looking man.
Warren Buffett. Everybody knows Buffett. $88.6 billion. Larry Page. This is kind of shocking to me. The co-founder of Google, Larry Page, is all the way down at number 9. Google.
I'm familiar.
Which is one of the ones where, honestly, it's something that it's all these other platforms, it was always very obvious to me. You know, if you sign up for Facebook, you're at the mercy of Facebook. If you sign up for Instagram, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Google, as a search platform, this is one where I didn't used to think, like, this is owned by someone who's using this data to do something or make money, or there's a, you know what I mean? You don't think of Google, or like, just, you want to go to the internet and search for something, you just kind of Google and that's it.
Until you drive
as
by,
as somebody,
you know,
who's made my living solely off of Google for the last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I now understand the depth and craziness of Google.
Until you drive by the $10 billion Google building that's currently getting built in downtown Austin. As you're like,
when I started doing like SEO work, which is kind of like my line of work at the moment.
Also,
yeah.
It's crazy. And they got Google Suite.
This is important. I want to talk about this for a second, because Jared's been working on what's called Search Engine Optimization, SEO, which is a very large, that's a career for a lot of people in this country and all over the world. It's where you utilize, Jared, I'm going to let you explain it. Jared, what were you doing with SEO? Just give us the shortest possible layman's terms version for people, just so they have an idea.
So Google likes certain content.
As a search platform, Google prefers certain things
to be set up in a certain way that is easy for them to read and gives them the best idea possible of what that content is about, so they can decide if they want to show it to people searching on Google.
Which is called indexing.
So
they decide how high or low they want to index your content based on how much it meets their standards, guidelines. If you have X amount of words used, X amount of times,
keywords,
all these different keywords and different things that, like,
structure.
Google's very specific about the way they want things done, which in fact influences the entire way that every piece of content on the internet by a company who is aware of SEO is created.
Hey, have you ever tried to find a recipe and you are like, wow, why do I have to scroll by 17 paragraphs about how your mother on 9/11 discovered this cookie recipe and it's your favorite recipe? It's because of SEO. People are trying to get their chocolate cookie recipe, trying to hire another one, so they got to put keywords in, and they got to have a certain length that they think Google will like. And
so the goal, I'm assuming, is to get, you know, your search result as close to the top at Google's
front page. So everybody's battling with the SEO, and then the side of it comes in where you can pay to play. And
SEM.
If I Google right now, furry couch, first ad that pops up is going to have a little badge next to it.
That says
first result that pops up is going to have a little badge next to it that says ad from a furry couch company that paid Google money to get to the top of the search results. So
on a cost per click basis.
When you use Google, just like Facebook or anything else, you're at the mercy of what that company decides they want to show you. And in the case of Google, more than any of these other ones, I look at that and the situation and the power that that one company has over the literal entire world, and I get freaked out. Because that's like, that's way too small. This whole problem we're discussing is that way too small a group of extremely wealthy, mostly white dudes are making decisions that affect all of us.
Chris is looking into the camera.
And it's just like, yes, this is the end result of the purest form of capitalism that we've seen, right?
Chris is too smug. Look at him.
He's smug, but he's got no answer for the problem, which is the thing. Like,
oh, I have an answer.
You can't. What is it?
The seizing means of production. I mean, we have to, like, people have to begin to take a stand at big tech and use their representatives to take stands.
Seizing
at big
means
tech.
Of production, meaning like a revolution.
Meaning like we have to. I mean, we.
You think you want to storm a building? Maybe.
No, we have to start somewhere, though, like with using our representatives to come out our... No.
That's what I'm saying, bro. But then what do you do?
Elect representatives that are going to go after big tech.
Or we can go and grab the representatives from the Capitol and put them in a room.
But this is where it gets weird. Big tech distributes this show.
Yes.
I love you, Zuck, my dude. Oh, man.
It's tough. That's the thing that gets... It's like...
So shouldn't we be able to fight for a way that we have more control over how this show is distributed?
You would hope.
So then why don't we do that?
Because then if you say that out loud,
then you get shut down.
Yeah, we just got
bumped down the Google index like four slots. Now when you search the Ross Bowen podcast, like that fucking RBP company that makes truck stickers is going
to
pop up.
I'm going to have to work 3 months
to
get us back up there. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, sorry Jesus. About that,
Jared, go do some SEO. Sergey Brin is number 10, by the way. He's the co-founder and board member of Alphabet. He
also
the Alphabet.
Larry Ellison.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V. W, X, Y, and Z.
Larry Ellison looks like Tim Allen if he never stopped doing cocaine.
I can see it.
I've got to look at Larry Ellison.
but the last thing I'll say about...
He looks like a fucking vampire.
The whole point of SEO is this. Google wants its people who make content to make their content as good as possible so that people will go to Google, get an answer to their query, and go, wow, Google did a great job answering my query. I'm going to keep using Google forever and ever.
Yeah.
So they really care about the end user only because their end user uses Google.
Yeah.
So Google goes, people who make good content, we are going to bump up high on the list because they make us more money. That's it. Google's not like only user focused. They're only user focused in so much as it helps them out.
And the last thing you said was the key. And they make more money.
Yeah.
If it works better for their purposes, which their purposes don't align with yours, they make more money, which is the key. And it's like when you look at this list, and to put a cap on this richest humans in the world segment and sort of our opening discussion from this entire show, we all need to be more aware of the men on this list. And to answer our own question and my question, like, where do you start? What do we do?
Awareness.
We've
got
to try to hold. Yeah, it's awareness education, and attempting to hold the members of our society who hold the most power. It's attempting to hold them responsible. And don't get me wrong, there are absolutely ways to put enough pressure on these individuals that we get change. It's just a matter of figuring out what that looks like because we haven't seen it effectively done yet. All we've seen is our government go after them, who we all know does not represent our best interests.
And I know that a lot of times I do definitely come across as very idealistic. And in my mind, those ideals are a very, very long endgame. But you have to start small and start somewhere. And having an ideal of what it could be potentially is the best way that I can do it in my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
just to explain how my thought processes work, because I know for a lot of people...
I'll give you the rebuttal, though. Like, 40-year-old Dave sitting in his cube... Doesn't want to, like... That's infuriating if you've been through enough of life
because
to know how naive that is.
I know. I get that. And I do get that. It's just, like, I'm not content with the statement, that's how it's always been,
and I think that's the thing to hold on to. You never want to be... But there's a difference between, like, knowing everything is fucked and we need to fix it and being unrealistic about, like, how much work goes into that. And it's the place where... I'm not saying you're unrealistic. I'm just saying, like,
it's a lot of work, man.
The older you get, the more you're like, all right, where is my work effective? what can I work on that's actually going to actually move the needle in a tiny way, in my own little way, for this thing that I disagree with? And that's kind of how you have to do it. It's like, especially in this country right now, where we've seen that the internet, very clearly not always our friend.
Well, I mean,
you kind of have to organize on a low level.
Trust me, I know, man. I mean, like, one of my biggest mentors in terms of my political outlook is Noam Chomsky, and he spent his entire life basically being blackballed by mainstream media. I mean, I get that it's very, very difficult. If you have the stances and you believe what I believe in, like, it's a very, 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 very slow grind. But I mean, eventually his ideas transitioned onto a lot of people in my current generation, and that'll live on. So,
Killer Mike, I'm reading Chomsky. I read Bukowski. I'm laying low for a week.
Isn't
I said
slow
something
grind
on behalf of my people, and I puffed up on WikiLeaks.
Exactly, yeah.
Slow Grind by Tory Lanez.
Slow Grind! RBP365 is brought to you by Headspace. Even in the new year, it's hard to start a new routine, but if you're one of the 34% of Americans who made a resolution to be less stressed, Headspace is here to help. Last year was stressful, incredibly stressful. We've talked about meditation as a means to alleviating that stress, as a means to bettering your life, your situation, and your headspace. And that's what Headspace does. It's your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. It's the only meditation app advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. One of the only ones, anyway. Headspace really can make you feel better. If you're overwhelmed, they have a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. You need some help falling asleep? They've got a wind-down session their members swear by. If you're a parent, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Their approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. It is awesome. I can't speak enough to how much meditation has been a helpful tool for me over the past year and a half-ish in really keeping my shit together, and Headspace is phenomenal. They're backed by 25 published studies on their benefits. They have 600,000 five-star reviews, over 60 million downloads. They make it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier. Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/Ross today and get a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. That's headspace.com/Ross. The best deal offered right now. 1 month trial with access to Headspace.
Wait, a whole month?
Full library. It's a month, Jared. A calendar fucking month. Head to headspace.com/Ross today. We have to close on something that's not serious for everyone. It's only serious for me, and I'll just do a couple minutes. We're going to talk about what's occurring in the government today at some point, maybe Patreon this week, this whole impeachment process, the historic vote that's about to occur that might be occurring as we speak at this very moment at 11:56 a.m. Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. But today, let me just close by saying James Harden is the devil.
I don't know. I support him.
I support James Harden.
I do.
Dude,
I'll stand on my hill and support that man.
You know what's funny is I found a handful of people on Twitter last night that were like, fuck you, James is just doing what's best for him. And I'm like, how much of a simp do you have to be for a man to go all the way down with this?
I hope James sees this, bro.
This one's tough.
He's not going to come over and high five you. That's one of my favorite internet responses. Every time I get hit with that, I'm like, fuck.
I did it, didn't I?
I got owned again, didn't I? But Harden, seriously, the Rockets got just routed by the Lakers last night again. It was
Wisconsin basketball got beat by Michigan last night.
Uh-huh.
The worst situational loss of Wisconsin sports, I think, in my entire time following them.
Why?
I believe.
Wait, why?
Well, I believe that at one point Michigan went on a 26-2 run.
Oh.
That's a lot of. That's a lot to a little.
It's a lot of unanswered
26
points.
26-2 is not what you want.
J-Bone. That's not great.
But
let me ask you this, Jared.
So.
After the game that you lost, did your best player, who is noticeably overweight, unkempt, and seemingly does not give a shit, go take the stand and tell the media that this team, frankly, is just not good enough, that you don't think there's any way it can be fixed, and thanks? Before walking off.
Was this before or after? I don't know what player it was.
It was before.
That was okay.
John Wall was then
okay.
Like,
he was like,
"Yo, we've played 8 games.
It's kind of difficult when
you played 8 games and you didn't even show up to the fucking preseason."
He's like, "Yeah, it's kind of difficult when we have a team with the same mentality. We all know what we're here for. We're here to win, and then you know some people just aren't on board with that, and everybody you know then looks
it's
and
the
points
classic
straight
problem,
at James Harden.
Like in the case of Harden, it's hysterical because he says this can't be fixed. And one of the things I tweeted was like, I don't think he realizes how much of a self-damning statement that is. Like
he's the fucking problem.
That's an indictment of his entire career because he built this team. Like, they gave him the keys to this city. Anybody who doesn't get that at this point is in Harden's camp or is such a Harden simp that they cannot see their way through to the truth. But the man had every opportunity. He brought in his best friend from L.A. who then didn't even want to be here and bounced to Washington, where, if I don't know if you've been paying attention,
not
but
great.
They suck.
Not great.
And he's still bounced.
Who's this?
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like, they're terrible. This is not how you lead. Let me just put it that way.
I mean, I don't think James Harden's ever been a leader.
And that's the point. If there's anything to take from this James Harden situation, it's that, what did we expect? This man has never really done anything to prove to anybody that he is a leader on the court.
Literally, sixth man of the year. He still is a sixth man of the year.
He got MVP too. But,
yeah, but I still think he's a sixth man of the year.
I've watched his whole career, and I've never seen him as a floor leader. Nobody has. He's not a leader. He's not a leader of men. He just point blank doesn't have the qualities you need to be that dude. It breaks my fucking heart. I always hoped he would grow into it eventually, like that eventually it'd be something he could wrap his fucking little head around. But nah, this is it. This is the dude that we're going to have to remember. This is the version of Harden that will go down in Houston history. And it's sad because to me, he was my, like, the guy I rooted for in the sports world more than anybody else, in part because he didn't seem to give a fuck. He didn't do all the dick sucking that the media does. He just got his money and worked harder than everybody else and figured out ways to manipulate the game to his advantage that were within the rules. And he, as a result, he's one of the greatest offensive players to ever play. He's also a total dickbag who really only cares about, like, his own personal shit. This isn't a team guy. So it's sad. Is this where it ends for my favorite sports team in terms of this era? Probably. Everybody else has already gone. It's really just this cat holding it down at this point, and they don't seem like they have much interest in keeping him around the whole year based on his attitude. I don't know what to say. We've talked about this several times over the course of the last few months as the season has begun to unfold in the NBA, which, by the way, is a total mess as a result of COVID. Things aren't going well. They didn't think they needed a bubble. It turns out they needed a bubble. Now there are guys that are being quarantined and saying, like, oh, you can't tell me I can stay. I have to stay in my room for 24 hours?
Wait, was it the 76ers the other day that had to start with like 7 men or 8 men?
I think they ended up
canceling the game.
Oh, they
have
did?
8, yeah.
But they were going to make them play at one point.
Yeah,
do you remember when Alabama one time, so many people fouled out? It was when Colin Sexton was on the team. They played 3 versus 5.
I do
at
not.
At one point.
I don't remember this.
And then
no.
They like almost won still.
Actually, I feel like I very vaguely remember this kind of in the back of my mind somewhere. But yeah, I saw the proposed starting lineup for the 76ers included a guy that they didn't even have in a Sixers jersey yet. They only had his like face shot of him still in like a green polo from like when he arrived on interview day. Never even had gotten fully dressed before. But also, I'd just like to real quick. J-Bone, are you a Bitcoin guy at all?
I think Bitcoin's the future.
Do you dabble?
I dabble in the coin.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
Have you seen anything about the few people in the world that have like one or two password guesses left to access millions of Bitcoin?
I read this. I just read this yesterday.
Yeah, so there's this guy. This is from the Times. Stephen Thomas has 2 guesses left. You get 10 total to figure out a password that is protecting $220 million worth of Bitcoin. 2 guesses left.
There's nobody that can help him out with
this?
No,
it's completely, like, the password for these wallets is apparently, like, you either know it or you don't, and he has 2 left, and then everything gets deleted. It's a safety measure.
Did you not write it down? There's no reset.
No. I read the article. He got it as a gift for making a video about Bitcoin for some evangelist.
He got 7,000 Bitcoin for making a video when Bitcoin was $2 a share.
Okay, holy shit.
And they gave it to him as a gift and put it in a wallet and gave him the password for said wallet.
Which he can't find.
Which he cannot find.
And now he has to have somebody figure it out within 2 tries or it's gone.
Yes, yes.
Holy shit.
And so, but in total, behind password-protected Bitcoin wallets that have at least 1 incorrect guess on them, there's $140 billion worth of Bitcoin.
Nuts, man.
I have $24.04 in Bitcoin.
Sick.
Let's go!
Which you can all see is huge for me.
Do you remember your password?
I don't know. It's just within Cash App. I don't really have to just Face ID.
Well, that guy said that he's done guessing and he's going to leave it in a safe, and maybe cryptographers in their future will be able to like decipher it. But somebody else said this. this dude can make a lot of money live streaming him putting in the passwords to see if he wins $220 million.
So he's got no chance, basically.
Like, unless cryptographers have a way to break into that wallet, there's no chance.
Which, if they have a way to break into, would make it to where the entire industry was completely unsafe. So
yes,
they're not going to have
well,
a way.
Yes and no. I mean, you can still break into things that are very safe if you're extremely talented at what you do. You know
yeah,
what
but
I mean?
If you could hack a Bitcoin wallet, the world would be in deep shit.
Okay,
the entire thing is built on the safety of the Bitcoin.
If it took like 10 cryptographers 6 months to hack a Bitcoin wallet, like
they would have been done that. That's like unlimited wealth and power.
Okay, fair.
Unlimited power.
Unlimited power.
Also, I just want to say Cal McNair is also the devil as a... For those of you who have heard, Deshaun Watson also wants out of Houston. Now, it could be argued that when I left Houston, Houston fell apart sports-wise. That it was me. That I was the catalyst.
I think Houston fell apart when you guys didn't keep Sam Decker, personally.
I kind of agree with that. I like Sam Decker,
Sam Decker
a lot.
Just followed me on Twitter 2 days ago.
No shit.
Just
hey, that's
saying.
A big follow. Wisconsin great Sam Decker. Shouts to Sam Decker, married to Olivia Harlan.
He is. Kevin Harlan's daughter. And
huzzah.
I'm gonna
good look, Sam.
I'm gonna leave this to make you feel a little bit about your sports team.
Do it.
I incorrectly said the run that Wisconsin got absolutely ran train on against yesterday.
Well, can I guess?
Yeah.
32-2.
43-6.
Oh no.
That's very bad.
That's horrible.
Because 26-2 or whatever, that shit happens on occasion.
Yeah.
In the NBA all the time.
One of those runs.
46-6.
43-6 run yesterday. I turned it off 5 minutes into the second half and watched a rerun of The Bachelor.
Were they that, up?
That actually did make me feel a little bit better, especially
no, they were
had
down
to
the
go
whole
from
game.
Watching basketball to reruns of The Bachelor. That will do it for today's show, but before you head out to take on the world, it's time for some very important announcements. First and foremost, you've been saddled with 3 legal obligations as a result of having listened to this entire podcast, the first of which is that you must rate and review. Please give us 5 stars, write 2 or 3 sentences about why you love the show, check that box, and move on to number 2, which is to share the show with one person this week. It could be a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, any one individual that you think would enjoy the Ross Bolin podcast. Share the show with them this week. Share the show with one person next week. One person every week until the week you die. Then your third and final legal obligation is to support our sponsors who support us and keep us in business. In the case of today's episode, that would be Headspace. Go get your 2021 meditation practice underway at headspace.com/Ross today. Get that free 1 month trial with access to the entire library of Headspace's amazing meditation practices. Get a new ritual going for 2021. Now is the time and prove yourself. That's your final legal obligation. Check that box. We can all live long and prosper. I call out the dogs. We don't have to see each other in court. Huzzah. Follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter. Can I not say my last name anymore? Is it Bolin? When I say it naturally, Ross Bolin.
It's Roose Bolton.
It's Roose Bolton. Follow me, Roose Bolton, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WR Bolin, at WRBOLEN. Don't ask why it's that one. My name is Roose Bolton. Twitch.tv/BossRolin is where you can find me and Cole's and Jared sometimes, a few times a week live on Twitch, playing video games and playing chess. I played chess against some kids last night. Good fun. Turns out, I am not the Queen's Gambit and am trash. Chris, where can everybody follow you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at ChrisSC99. You can find me on Twitter at Q0ULS. And you can find me on Snapchat at Chris_Coulson. That's COULSON.
Jared, thank you for joining us today and discussing the ins and outs of the internet and our world as a whole. Where can we follow you on social media and keep up with you?
Well, you can follow me at Jared Borislow, wherever social media is sold. Ross, I have a question.
Yep.
You just, I watched you type that sentence into the rundown.
Does it have to be in there for me to say it?
Yes.
Is that the question?
Yes.
No, it doesn't. It's just that sometimes, as you noticed during today's show, my brain will just be like, and blank. And so, like, if that had happened between Chris talking just now and you talking, I may not have remembered. So I wanted to make sure I remembered penis, boobies, wiener ass, and titties, sex holes. Why'd you do that, dude? Jared just wrote those words into the into the outline and made me read them. That was messed up. Jared. Where can we follow you, though?
At Jared Borislow. If you don't follow me, you're a dirty slut.
Sex hole? What the hell, man? Dirty slut.
Follow me.
I've started using that word again because I feel like it's not it used to be derogatory because people aimed it at women.
Yep.
I like calling dudes sluts now.
Yeah.
It's fun to me. I don't know why. I did it with someone on the internet the other day and people were
upset. It's a good one. I think it's back.
Huh. I think it's back. We brought sluts back.
Good shit.
We're basically, bringing slutty, like, back. Mean Girls had sluts like hardcore in the mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Now we're taking over. We're rebranding.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, check out Sluts Podcast.
Check out Bolin Media's television. We're also an abortion podcast. Check out Bolin Media's television and film podcast, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, available wherever RBP is available. If you love TV and movies, you will love Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. OCC is great. We're covering The Sopranos right now on the Patreon. Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. That will do it for RBP 365. produced by Mike Moody Garcia of Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. Chris and I will be back on Friday on Patreon, ad-free for everybody on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast. Come through this Friday, support the show, minimum of just $5 monthly on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast for the ad-free Friday episodes. To access them, you should do that, because you are not alone. Podmen get paid. Respect, Mr. Park. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. Christopher.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Go low, baby.